Hi, I'm Alexandra.
And I'm Anna, and we are the Russian Sisters.
Welcome to our podcast.
A show we created to talk about hard things.
And also to bring some levity to your lives.
Alexandra is a mom and occupational therapist.
And Anna is a school counselor.
And together we share our life stories.
And crazy adventures.
We aim to make you smile.
And let you know you're not alone.
You're not alone.
You are not alone.
Enjoy our latest episode from
The Russian Sisters.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Hello, hello.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it's a new year.
Hope that you had holidays that were surrounded with love and light. I know they can be a ridiculously hard time.
They can be.
At times, depending on what you're going through. So I hope that whatever you had going on, that you had warmth and love and light surrounding you.
That's very kind of you.
Why are you laughing at me?
Well, because I think that's very kind of you. Well, I'm like, let's talk about the new year. And I was like, let's talk about the holidays. No, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, the new year is the holiday. I'm still on holiday.
You are. You are. I know. How has your vacation been?
It's been pretty amazing. There's been a lot of rest, but I also spent some time thinking about organizing and minimizing. I finally took this big pile of stuff to Goodwill.
Oh, that must have felt good.
That was amazing because it's just been sitting in my garage for months.
Ooh, I can't wait to see what comes in.
Mm-hmm. From Goodwill?
No, Universe is going to send you some good stuff.
Now that I've cleared out?
Yeah.
I know. That's what my old boss, like that was probably the one redeeming thing ever that she said ever was that I would have to clear some stuff out if I wanted to welcome stuff in. And I was like, okay. But I know it's true.
100%.
I know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I did that. But I've also been resting and watching movies and TV shows.
What have you been watching?
I know, it's so shocking.
I have to say, the other day I was talking to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. We connected for Christmas. And I've mentioned here on the show that I am horrible about remembering people's birthdays. So you never know, you might get a happy birthday from me in like May and your birthday's in October. And so I was like, when are your birthdays? And my brother-in-law is May and sister-in-law is April. So she's in Aries like me. And I was like, oh, because she's a pretty big badass. And not that he's not.
No, I know. But were you like, she's a badass and she's born in April and Avi, I'm a badass? Is that what you were getting?
No, that's funny. Thank you. Thank you. No, it was more that I was thinking about her husband, my brother-in-law, who's the Taurus. And I was like, oh, now I know why you and Anna get along so well.
So well.
Because you're the Pulse. And you like to spend your downtime watching your Netflix and doing stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and last time we got together, we were talking about the things that we're leaving behind and the things that we're going to welcome in the new year. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I'm going to change anything about my TV watching habits. I'm just not going to. I feel it is fine. Just part of my Taurus blood.
I thought you were going to say, like, we're bringing in the new year with a friend with us today.
Well, of course we are. And we are very excited to have our guest today.
Yes. Amy is my friend. I don't know how to, I'm like,
and loyal listener. So this is what happens when you're a loyal listener, people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Loyal listeners get to come for wine and cheese pairing parties.
I was going to say, we're bringing in the new year as we talked about New Year's resolutions and exercise and having a good, healthy lifestyle. We're going to bring in the new year with some wine and cheese and friends.
Yeah. And also I was reflecting on the conversation about resolutions last time we were together. And I totally didn't mean to diss on people who want to like make their commitment to exercise or healthier lifestyle. I am all about healthier lifestyle. So I didn't want anyone to get the idea that I was like bashing on that idea.
I thought we were pretty clear because I think I actually said, hey, if you do that, awesome. Just do it right.
Just being a former marketing major, I was bashing on the industry and the money-making side of the coin. And then the guilt and the shame that comes with that. That's where I was coming from. So I didn't want anyone to like misunderstand me.
I've had several people who are talking to me about running. And I think I've been saying for the last 4 years, like, oh, I'm so jealous of people who run regularly because that's on my list, my manifestation list. And my dream is to be able to get back to running regularly, so that I can, I really want to do another half marathon is really what I want to do.
That is so exciting.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to do more 5Ks. I think we talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And I also want to have a better relationship with my Peloton.
Yeah.
Right now, the Peloton is like, it's like a comfortable man panting. It just sits there and doesn't talk back. It just,
it does.
And I don't hang laundry on it.
It's no, just I'm glad you didn't put there. It in your basement. You left it upstairs. So it's there. You see it. Cause I think that's one of the things I was doing a health and nutrition training for my license. And that's one of the things they say, anything that's going to be tempting, that's not good for you, get it out of your line of sight. Anything that you want to engage with, whether it's food or exercise, have it in your line of sight. The same with my treadmill. I'd like to have a better relationship. Mine's a little too quiet. Like I like the talking back. I mean, I think that's part of my Aries where I'm like, yeah, give it to me. Come on, challenge me a little bit. Let's go back and forth. And then we hug it out.
Yes. And I, I don't even, there's so many words that are happening in my head right now. And I'm like, you shouldn't say that. Say it. No, don't say it. No, don't. It's yes.
Well, be kind. No, it is the new year.
100% from kindness and love. I think like, yeah, as a bull, I'm like, there you are. And here I am. Let's watch TV together. And you're like, let's banter. You're like, yes, you're the ram. You're like, hey, right?
I'm also
excited puppy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm also year of the dog.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly like, come on, guys, let's play. Can we all get along? I'm like shaking my tail right now.
You are. I wish you guys could see this. Where I'm also just laying here like, what? And she's like, come on, let's go play. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so TV, I want to get back to that because as we mentioned, we do have a guest today. We're super excited with loyal listener Amy today to go through our wine and cheese pairing. We've got some great wines and great cheeses and some crackers and water, but whatever. But before we get to that, I did want to talk about something that I had this like aha moment the other day. And it originally started because I was watching the show on Schmetflix called I'm a Killer. Amy just mentioned that she was watching that the other day, or she started this series, but not at bedtime because it can like put some frightful images into your head. I happen to fall asleep to such shows, but that's okay. That's me. And that's just the weirdness. That's why I have to read books like Trauma Stewardship, because there are people out there that, yeah, which are a community of people who need that to fall asleep. Anywho, so I was watching this show, I'm a Killer, and the thought that came to my head is when I watch shows like that, or like Intervention, or hoarding shows, or whatever awful criminal shows, what the common theme I was picking up, and especially when you binge watch and you tend to see like common themes pretty fast, is that these really awful things happen to these humans when they were kids. And Alexandra and I have talked about how it's so important to focus on those early years, 0 to 7, 0 to 14, even if you're going to stretch it out. But like on Intervention, just about every show I think that I've ever watched, the common theme was a divorce at some point. So a really traumatic breakup in a family system when the kid was little and it rocked their world. With a lot of these kids or humans on I Am a Killer, there was like, whether it was divorce or someone in prison or a sexual abuse that happened at some point, regardless of what the situation was or what landed them in prison as an adult, they had a really rocky start to life with little to no support and then a system that failed them, which just crushes my heart, obviously. That was something that I was noticing. So to Al's point, Al being my sister, Alexandra, why are we not doing more for these kids at the early ages? Like I've said that before about school counseling. Like it's just weird. It's not weird to me because I get it, because there's a lot of work in like wanting to get these children off to college or post-secondary stuff. But we put so much into mental health and support in high school. And then you've got a school counselor who splits among three schools. Right. Now, I feel like our district, my school district, has done a pretty good job, is getting better at putting mental health supports at the earlier ages, but we can still be doing better. But that's just on a grand scale with so many little humans hurting and experiencing really ugly things of life. There's so much prevention that can be happening during those ages. That was really long winded.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're preaching it. I'm all for it. The main thing that comes to mind, though, is in order to help the kids, us as adults have to heal our hurts that we haven't been able to heal. And then like kids mimic everything we do. They watch everything and they soak it up. And I don't think kids are given enough credit for what they take in or the connections they make. And then they watch us and watch us not handle things very well, or they mimic us. And then it's considered bad behavior, or they're being malicious when it's communication. It's all It's all just communication. And I had another thought and that one went, so I'll come back to it.
Good, because I have my aha moment. This all brought me to my aha moment. But to your point, I was thinking like how much modeling or mimicking that our kids do, right? There were a number of humans who said like, oh, my dad was in a gang. And so if my dad was in a gang, like, and yes, I saw the negative aspects, but then like, what's so wrong about me being in a gang? Or the people around me were using drugs. I was around them all the time. And so I just kind of grew up in that environment and it was just a natural thing to like progress into. Mm-hmm. No matter how many times the adults might say, don't do it, it's bad for you, their behavior indicated otherwise.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've even had those moments with Buddy where I've gotten frustrated and I've raised my voice and then he'll raise his voice right back at me. And there's one particular. And again, please know, you guys, that I'm sharing this in a vulnerable moment as a mom, knowing my mom fails. So if you feel like you need to judge me, just do internally. But Buddy is in a safe environment. There are people here who know that he is in a safe and well-loved environment. We all, like, no parent is perfect. I just feel like I have to put in that disclaimer. But I had one specific moment where I was going through stuff emotionally. He is an empath, soaked up my energy. I raised my voice. He raised his voice right back to me and I went, oh. So instead, what I started doing is any of the strategies that I wanted him to use, I started using as an adult to mimic for him what to do.
Were you punching the punching bag?
I did.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And we have Mad Mickey. So I went and got Mad Mickey and I was like, oh, I'm so mad. And I throw Mad Mickey on the floor. And because kids do, I mean, I see it with all the families I work with, and parents will come to me and say, like, my kids are having really big tantrums. And it triggers. Like, I actually had a parent who was like, I am triggered when my child does this. And she's like, I know I'm triggered. And I was, you know, trying to be very empathetic. I know we're going to get to one of your ahas with the empathy, but I like stopped her and, you know, tried to acknowledge the hurt that she's had, which is just weird, right? Like, I'm trying to navigate my own parenting. And then a lot of what I do is coach parents, and then was able to say, you know, just saying like, maybe find a strategy that you want him, your child, to engage in, and you do it first. And she was like, oh, because kids do, they soak it all. I mean, when you reflect on your own childhood or what we take on, and that's the thing, kids don't know. I was just having this conversation with someone. We don't know as children that we are not responsible for our parents' happiness.
Right.
And we're not responsible for what happened. Like, I don't know what it is about our brain chemistry or our development that we take on ownership of everything going on in our households.
So one, I don't want to do too much of a spoiler for loyal listener Amy.
Well, I'm like, also we got to like,
I know, we'll get there. Okay. But there is this one episode where one of the humans who's in prison now, his mom was just doing stuff and not being an amazing mom to him. And she says that. So she was doing drugs and she was just around the wrong people, bad influences for her kid. And so he ended up with family members. And then at first he was with a grandma and then he ended up with an auntie. And the aunt, like, and
sure, that wasn't Sean. Don't, just kidding.
Right?
I'll
go. Okay. So, I mean, the aunt does say like, we failed him, like the whole family failed him, and that's okay. I will come back to that point. I don't remember where I was going with that. But anyway.
But mom wasn't great. He was with grandma and auntie.
And then an aunt. And then the aunt like had her own kids and was like, I can't deal with him. So they put him into foster care. And and then he got abused in foster care and then just ended up like started with gangs because that's the family that said, we're going to take care of you.
Well, and gangs are that connection and sense of belonging, which is what kids, the way I see it is like the feeling soothed and oh, hold on, I can do this. Safe, secure, soothed, and seen, right? And all of that leads to an ability to have healthy connection and a sense of belonging. And then kids don't have that, and they find it in places like gangs. The one thing I remembered what I was going to say real fast about the school thing. So Sean was considered the quiet one. So no one really checked in with him. I know he had one fifth grade teacher who checked in on him when his dad was deployed for a long period of time, but usually he was the quiet one. I mean, that's like consistently throughout family, throughout everyone, he was the quiet one. And it was just assumed that because he was the quiet one, everything was okay. And I'll say that after he died, I got triggered because I was asked, when I was working in the schools, asked to check on this little kindergarten student who was in foster care and he was just about to be adopted. And I was like, someone needs to check, like, that is traumatic. Who is checking in? And like the mental health provider at the school wasn't, no one. So I went to talk to the teacher and she was like, well, he's quiet. Oh my goodness. I had to like hold myself back. And I just said, even though he's the quiet one, he has still been through trauma and I would recommend that you check in with him.
Well, and to your point, I feel maybe that's another hashtag to your point. I feel inadequate at times with my job because I've got over 300 kids and my main job as a school counselor is to support them being in school. Now, sometimes that's academic support, sometimes that's the social emotional supports, but whatever it is, I only have time to meet with them briefly and then get them back into the classroom so that they can do school. I'm not a therapist. We don't get into the therapy piece. And so I often think about that and go, oh my gosh, I am one person for over 300 little humans and I cannot be that for them all. And that's just a hard part of the job.
Well, two things. One, the system is not setting you up for success. And number two, it's not your fault.
I'm not alone. I know also.
You're not alone.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. Number three, you are not alone.
Okay. On that note, let me tell you about this aha moment I had the other day about empathy. And I don't know why it took me 40 some odd years to get here, because I teach and preach empathy to the humans that I work with all the time, right? We talk about empathy and define empathy as putting yourself in someone else's shoes. And I was driving the other day, and I don't remember if I was at a stoplight, but I was like, ding, ding, it's not putting Anna Gazzetti in Alexandra Wyman's shoes. It's Anna Gazzetti thinking, how would I be if I was Alexandra Wyman in Alexandra's shoes? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So it's not putting yourself in someone else's shoes. Mm-hmm. It's how would you behave if you were that person with their history and their traumas and their experiences in their shoes? That's true empathy, which I think we're like halfway there when we talk about empathy a lot.
Yeah. No, I've said it before, but you said it differently with different words that I hope will reach our people.
Yes, and I know you've said that. Like, how would you make the same decisions with the same information? But I, as Anna Gazzetti, would still, like, it's a different frame. Like, if I had that information and those, like, I might still make a different decision. But if true empathy is like, how would I feel or be if I was you in your shoes with your stuff?
Yeah, because I think even looking at it, if you had, I mean, that's the whole point. If you have someone else's history and their information, because our history and whatever experiences we individually or personally have are what are going to kind of create our perspective and how we make choices. And I know that that might take a minute to like let that one sink in. But it's not like we're not all dealing with all the information. We're dealing with our information. So you're right. When you're looking at empathy, it's you understanding that you would be dealing with the information I have, and could you come to the same, like you would most likely come, not most likely, but you could come to the same decision that I do given having that information that I have versus you applying the information you have to my situation.
Yes. And that, I mean, just to come full circle, is the lens that I started to watch the show I Am a Killer with. Because a lot of people will say, like, oh, I would never do that. I would never shoot anyone. I would never kill anyone. I would never be in that situation. But that's not empathy, right? Empathy would be like, if I was this kid who had this person for a mom and then was passed to my grandma and then to my auntie and was surrounded by drugs, and if I had that trauma and that sexual abuse, would I down the road potentially come to the same conclusion or same circumstances? I mean, then the answer is yes, very potentially. So I just feel like, world, on a grander scheme of things, if we could just come at things with that kind of lens instead of like that would never be me. I don't know. There's some pride or ego thing behind that.
It's safety. In my opinion, it's safety and security. So to say, we're constantly trying to create a sense of these horrible things that happen to other people won't happen to us, because it creates that sense of security and safety. Well, I would never do that. I'm safe. I'm secure. I don't have to go through that. When in actuality, that is holding on to that checklist of life that I talk about versus holding on to the fact that it could happen. You don't know. anything tragic can happen to you at any point in time, but it's about how you handle it. That's the predictable part.
I like that so much. Yeah. On that note, let's drink.
Right?
Okay.
Woohoo!
I know.
I feel like I had another thing to say, but I lost it. So if I remember it, I'll come back to it.
Did you have a pen and paper? Write it down.
Yeah. No, I do. But I already started.
Are you
drinking.
Already into your? Okay, guys. All right. So for today, awesomely, as we've mentioned, our friend Amy is here to join us for our wine tasting. Both Amy and I got these Advent wine boxes from Schmashmo, and it was so cool. And then we went to our Schming Schmoopers and dug into the cheese bin. Well, it was a big counter. There's the big counter, but they have like a $5 basket thing. And when I got there, it was pretty empty. But that's where you can like sample different cheeses. And so we did some research on the wines that we picked out from our Advent boxes and got some cheeses together. So without further ado, we are going to munch on the microphone. I was like, how are we going to do this logistically? Because we're going to be talking with food in our mouth, but we're going to make it happen.
I think the last time we did this, we just took turns telling stories.
Yeah.
So you munch first, then I do.
Okay, well, from the box, and we picked at random, we've got a rosato. It is a rosé, but it doesn't really go with the rest. We got reds, and I was like, and a rosé, because that's fun. So there's a rosé, and when I was looking up cheeses that go with rosé, it was like just about any cheese can go with rosé, and it just depends on how pink the rosé is or how dark it is or how light. And so we have a rosé that's a little darker in color, I would say. It's called Pinky Truce. It's from Italy. And it's Amy and I were talking, like she picked out some of hers because of the labels. And I confess I did the same. So because they're just fun. And then also the date, I was kind of going in order in my box. So I'm not down to the teens yet in my box, but that's all to come. It just means that we could do more tasting. All right. So for our rosé, I did pick out a blue cheese. It was like a creamier cheese. And so that was the suggestion. It was like, oh, a creamier blue cheese. So we're going to start off with the stinky cheese. Mm. Do you need to get yourself some over here? Yes. So I'll pass
I will
that
say
to
that
you.
I like the rosé. I like the, I like, well, I, in general, I like rosé. So it was very, very tasty.
And remember that when you are drinking your wine, and we learned this summer when we were in Sonoma, thank you so much, I just got past some cheese to go with my rosé. When you are drinking your wines, you really want them to be at room temperature. So I had my rosé chilling for a little while and then pulled it out.
Well, the reds, I think you chill. So it's the white wines you pull out and you have those at room temperature. And for the amount of time that you do that with your whites, you put your reds in the fridge to chill.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Alexandra is correct.
Yeah.
So I also, I took some screenshots, but I don't know where they are of this article. Maybe I didn't take screenshots of this article. This is basically like, what order do you drink wines in? So now I'm going to have to find that. Hold just a moment.
Well, while you find that, I'm going to tell you a fun story from today. I go back and forth. So Anna and I, there is a house locally here that HGTV, and I don't know if I should be saying this because now y'all are going to want to win the house, but there's a house not far from us that HGTV flipped, and it's worth a couple $1 million, and there's like a sweepstakes. Now I'll tell you, I don't ever do sweepstakes, but I decided to do this one, and it's a cute house. But the main thing is you can sell the house. It comes with a Jeep and all sorts of stuff. So I convinced Anna to actually like enter the sweepstakes with me. And I'm like, oh, this would be kind of fun. Until I realized this house is kind of isolated. It's not far. It's probably like 20 minutes from where I currently live. And it got me excited about where I live. And I was like, oh, maybe I'd just sell the house and take the cash. I know it's a long story about this HGTV house. But this is what I'll say. I have some fantastic neighbors. They've been wonderful since we moved in. And this morning it happened to be garbage day, and I have been wearing since with the new year. So I like to kind of extend Christmas and New Year, like stuff past New Year's. And so I was wearing a set of my Christmas jammies, and I go out to put my garbage out because it's garbage day. And my neighbor is in Christmas jammies coming out to put her garbage out. And I thought it was like the most adorable. We're waving to each other in our Christmas jammies while we're putting our garbage out. And I was like, oh, I just really like our neighbors and neighborhood, because this other house is pretty isolated. There aren't any neighbors that are super close. And then I had to think through like, oh, buddy, you know, it's nice to have neighbors and people around and such like that. So that was one of the things I wanted to share where I really enjoy. I know Anna's talked about her unfortunate neighbor. But it kind of cracked me up when we both went out in our Christmas jammies to take the garbage out.
I love that. And I love community. And I really like this blue cheese. And I'm usually not like a big stinky blue cheese person, but that was really tasty. And paired with the rosé, I really liked that. And I liked your story about taking the trash out, because I know that's hard for you. All right. So people, when you are doing some wine tasting, here are some general rules according to an article I found on the internet. And I'm sure most of you have probably heard these things. And so this might not be news to you, but if you are going to do some wine tasting, here are some general rules. You do want to do your whites before reds, which is why we started with the rosé, because it's kind of in the middle, right? It's not a white. And it just means that the, So I'm not going to explain all about wine tasting. That's another day, perhaps. But I'm just trying to soak up some time while Al's chewing her cracker. All right. So whites before reds. You also want to do light body before heavy body. So our next wine we're going to get into our reds is a Pinot Noir. And so then we've got a Pinot Noir, something d'Abruzzo, which I cannot say the
Montepulciano.
Whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I had to Google, like, is that lighter than a Tempranillo? Then we've got a Tempranillo and then a Cabernet Sauvignon. So you want to do light body before heavy, dry before sweet. We don't have a Moscato, but that would have been fun to like cap things off at the end. Young before old, and I didn't really look at what years these all are. So like, what if you have a younger Cabernet before a
I think it older- just depends on... I think it depends, because some of them are supposed to be aged and some are not supposed to be aged. Like some get better with age and some don't. I think it depends on the year and the grape.
I think you're right. I didn't read that book that we got in Sonoma from the guy.
That's funny that you bring that up, because I just thought, oh, that book that I did not have the author sign, because I almost left everything where I was, but
that's okay.
I did want to say that over the holidays, too, I did dabble a little bit. Anna and I talked about the worst Christmas movies on Hallmark. Mm-hmm. And I did dabble a little bit with some Hallmark movies. And Anna actually turned me on to putting subtitles on.
Yes.
So I can keep the volume down, but then read what's happening. OMG. I think this was a Lifetime. So I have Amazon Prime, and during the holiday season they were doing live, it'd be like on now, and you could watch whatever the movies were on at that time. And so I was looking, are you ready for this is what cracks me up. So this is what the people were saying, and then this is what the subtitle was reading. So, and I just did a couple lines because that's all I could tolerate before. Okay, so the person on the movie verbally and audibly said, I have one more delivery to make, and the subtitle says, I have a lot to learn. And then the person on the show says, so the first line is, I have one more delivery to make. And the person says, you do. And the subtitle says marshmallows.
What?
So I don't know if someone, I don't know if someone was like trying to keep their job or not or what, but I was like, these subtitles are not working for me. And then some of them got super cheesy again. There was one, this is another thing that happened with those movies, you guys, where the live movies, you know how sometimes if they end at an awkward time, they're like trying to figure out when to start the next movie. Well, what Lifetime was doing is they would just cut to the end of another movie, but I wouldn't necessarily understand. So when it would say like, here's the title of the movie that's starting, and I'd click on it. And then it was like this couple in an elevator. And they were like, I love you. I love you too. This is amazing. And I was like, something doesn't feel right. If this whole movie is about people being stuck in an elevator, I don't know if I can do that for an hour and a half. No, it was the end of another Christmas movie. I'm sure you guys are really excited that you have now learned that Lifetime did this on Prime during the holiday season. But just, you know, you might want to like check your subtitles first to make sure that they are accurately displaying them.
Mm-hmm. And loyal listener Amy concurs. Subtitles are the way to go.
Mm-hmm. And I have to watch, because after Buddy goes to bed, sometimes I'll watch something and have subtitles on. But then when he goes to watch it and he's like, what is this? I'm like, oh, those are from Mom. Let me turn those. Amy leaves them
on. They learn reading. They learn reading at the same time they're listening. And actually, right, isn't that the way, like, when we have kids who are reading their books, we'll have the audio book on in the back so they can follow along. Like, they can hear it and then see it.
They have leapfrog ones.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. Buddy is, like, identifying all his letters now, and he wants to spell stuff out. And then I'm, like, doing, like, really short sight words with him.
I almost said his name again, but I was really excited because he's learning the sign language letters and can spell his name in sign language. So that's all really fun. He recognizes that.
Have you ever thought, I'd love to have a podcast just like this one? Well, I can help. My name is Matt Kundle, and everyone at my company, the Sound Off Podcast Network, had a hand in making this show. Whether it was about the sound, the discoverability, or that you're just enjoying the show, we are all about the detail. If you think you have a podcast in you, reach out to me via email, matt@soundoff.network. Or check out the website and become one of the great podcasts we work with at soundoff.network.
All right, so we have moved on to the Pinot Noir. It is called Divine. It's light lettering, and I don't have my glasses on. Divine Pondering. It's a from North Macedonia. It's a Pinot Noir. I probably already said that.
I like it. I'm a big Pinot fan anyway.
Mm-hmm. It has this cute little cherub on the front pondering things.
What's the cheese we're eating?
Okay, so this is actually really yummy. There is a Jasper Hill Whitney, which is super fun. And there's a goat Gouda, which has a little bit of salt in it.
I just tried was the goat Gouda.
It reminds me of a Pecorino, but when you eat the goat Gouda and then have a sip of the Pinot Noir, that is super yummy.
Yeah.
I really dig
delicious.
That.
Delicious and nutritious.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about the nutritious part. I'm probably going to suffer for all this cheese later. That's not TMI.
Yeah. So I went to Schmarget today.
Oh, tell me. Mm-hmm. Tell me more about your Schmarget.
It was probably one of the weirdest experiences I've had at Schmarget in a while. First of all, it would have been an amazing people watching day. I mean, it was like people not wearing shoes it was the gamut. It was like running the gamut today. There was one woman where our carts, like we kept trying to come out of different aisles together. And so I saw her, I think by the fourth time that we were trying to go to the same place, I was like, hey, we just keep running into each other. Oh my goodness, I haven't been mean mugged like that in so long.
Really?
She literally just stared me down and just kept rolling with her cart while watching me. And I was like, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Like, this is so weird. Yeah. And I was like, obviously the new year has not really helped you very much.
She was a grumpy guess, eh?
Oh, my gosh. You would think that now, like, things would start to slow down a little bit and people would be happier, but not so much. And then what was strange, so I was trying to find folding chairs. I'm
hosting, and I'm so excited you're hosting.
You guys, I don't host things. I just had some more windows put in my house. It's, like, been a long thing. And I was talking to the guys about it. And I said, there's a reason that I don't clean my house is so that I don't have to have people over. Now, don't get me wrong. My house does get cleaned. But I was like, this way I stress out about people coming over my house. So, but I went to get some chairs and stuff. And I'm like going up and down the aisles trying to find them. And I happened to overhear some of the employees talk about this little like dating trifecta. This one girl was talking to another girl and she was like, I was telling so-and-so blah, 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 blah. And it was so funny and blah, 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 blah. And this guy comes out around the corner. He's like, wait a second. It was me. You had that conversation with me.
No way.
And you could see that he was like so into this. I mean, they're like teeny bopper. I don't know if they're teeny boppers or if they're like early 20s, right? Because I can't tell anymore. But it was just so funny. And he's like, no, that was me. And he's like, ha, 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 ha. And I did a little shoulder tap. And then the three of them were just kind of, again, staring. I'm like, maybe something was on my face. And I didn't know, actually, now that I think about it. Because I, like, strolled by them. And I wasn't, like, staring with mouth open or anything like that. But I was kind of like, I'm looking for chairs. And they just watched me walk by. You know, because normally they'll say, like, hey, can we help you? But they were very involved. And there was, like, some laughter and definite flirting. And I was like, oh. At Target, you know, that was really, really interesting. But I found what I needed to and was able to check out. And that's my story about Target.
So I'm going to allow you some time so that you can drink the Montepulciano d'Abruzzo. It's from Italy. It's called Racer 68. And we paired it with a cheddar. So it's called Westminster Rustic Red Cheddar, even though it's orange. And then when I looked up D'Abruzzo online, it also said to pair with a Monterey Jack. Now, I will say, and I don't know if this is the popular opinion, but I really like the D'Abruzzo with the cheddar more than I do with the Monterey Jack. I feel like the cheddar just has something more to give to the wine. And it is a lighter wine. I thought it was going to be like, after a Pinot, it's definitely still a light wine.
It is. It's heavier than the Pinot, but still a little.
Which is maybe why I like it with the cheddar, because the cheddar, it has more substance to it than... Are you laughing? Tell me. No. Yeah.
No, what? I'm trying to be able... So rude, people. I was trying to take a bite of the cheese without it falling in my lap. Okay.
Oh, that's okay. And all of our faces. We're in good company here. And we've had some wine, so we don't really care. It's all in good fun. But I like this. It is a lighter wine, and I would pair it with probably a heavier cheese than the Monterey Jack. The Monterey Jack just doesn't do much for it. Amy concurs. How about you?
I'm not there yet. I'm the slow one. I'm slow.
My favorite is like trying to guzzle all the cheese down so I can get down to the next wine. Okay, so our next wine is a Tempranillo. It's called Classic Cruz. Tempranillo is a Spanish wine, and we have it paired with a Pecorino and a Manchego.
I was going to say, I love Tempranillo.
Yes, Murray's. Okay, so my King Super sells this brand Murray's, and I need to look into it because that's where I also got the crackers, but it's all very yummy cheese. And has been tasty so far. And I like that we can like try out different things in Paris. So that we've got the Manchego and a Pecorino to go with a Tempranillo, but I haven't tried that yet. How's it going on your end?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Delicious. I'm a little behind, but I'm catching up.
So you went to Schmarget and got some chairs. Oh, that's the thing that I was going to say. Alexandra was kind of funny earlier because we were talking about the menu for tonight since we are, hosting us and the siblings. We're like nine. Well, with our parents, we're like a group of nine. And so we do that pretty often and it's not a big deal. And we have company tonight, and company is friend and family coming over tonight. And so Alexandra was talking about the menu and I was like, whatever's easiest, dude. Like, I don't want you to have to worry about too much. It doesn't have to be fancy or extravagant. Like when I asked her, because we're having spaghetti, and I was like, do you have Parmesan cheese? And she's like, nothing fancy. And I was like, dude, we have all this fancy cheese here. You're so right, Amy. Yes, we've got fancy cheese here. We could just grate it up. And I was like, no, you could just do the old KRAFT with the green top. That'll totally be fine, because who cares about that most but the kids, right? Like, it doesn't have to be fancy cheese. And she's like, I don't normally cook for 11. I'm like, who does? And then she reminded me, our sister-in-law does that frequently, so she's really good at that. I cook for one, and cooking is that's like...
Yeah, and I cook for one and a half.
It's a big fancy.
So we're like the best. We're the best to cook for.
Can't even call it cooking.
Like, I have 1 pound and 3/4 of spaghetti and 2 loaves of bread. I don't know. So if there are leftovers, we'll figure it out. I am in awe of people. I was also talking about this today. I'm in awe of people who meal plan, which is our friend Amy, and also our sister-in-law, because I still struggle in the evenings. And I think as much as I feel like I've really progressed in my grief process and have gotten better and I can tolerate longer hours and a longer amount of time each day, evenings are super, super draining and hard for me. Maybe that's the thing for this year. There you go. So you're not changing your TV habits, but I'm going to put it on my manifestation list that I want to get better about meal planning.
Okay. When we were doing the home chef stuff, remember, that was like kind of easier to do because it just shows up at your door and you're like, I know what I'm having tonight. And I know that I can have it for dinner tonight and lunch tomorrow. And that really helped with meal planning. But since I haven't been doing that anymore, yeah. I don't even know if you can call microwaving cooking, for one. Right? Like, and I'll not microwave. Like, there are things that I make that are not microwavable. Like, I'll put a pizza in the oven.
Are you doing lean cuisine?
No. Okay. No, but like, I have like...
Just checking on you. Just checking on you.
You know, little chicken breast things at all. That's how I'll heat them up.
No, I do. Frozen. I do still have a food service that comes and provides 2 meals a week. And I do like that, because it takes the pressure off me having to figure it out. Unfortunately, some of the options are not always the most kid-friendly. So I have been exposing Buddy to them, but there are some days he's like, no, I'm not doing it. So I try and be mindful about that. But it is like, that is something, like our sister-in-law one day, she's like, oh, we're doing tacos tonight. And I'm like, what time are you starting to cook tacos? And she just defrosted everything, put it in the microwave, and the kids had a meal because she had already cooked it. And I was like, that's genius. It's just, I don't do well with the planning part of that.
Yeah, she's really good with like making a bunch of shepherd's pie and putting them in the aluminum things and then putting them in the freezer. Like, she's really good at doing things. Yeah, that's what
she gave me for a year.
Yeah.
It was wonderful. When our mom and our sister-in-law cooked meals for a year and gave them to me, and I put them in the freezer, and I'm like, how do I? Now, I will say this, you guys, and like, there, I'm going to preface this by saying you have to find some moments of humor within a grief process. So when I say this, this does not in any way, shape, or form diminish what I've been through after Sean dying or anything like that. But I will say, I will use the widow card as much as I need to. I did kind of, you know, it did expire after a year on the whole food thing, but I don't think so. How long can I,
as Amy is saying,
Amy just said, it's not like he just came back alive after a year.
Widow status is still there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that is, so to your point, drink.
Denise, if you're listening, we need another t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
We've got so many ideas for this. I'm so excited for this new year because we're gonna create some merch. I wanted to do it before the end of the new year, the end of 2022, but we didn't make it.
So no, we're gonna do it. We're gonna do it before the end of the new year. Before the end of 2023 now. Woo-hoo. We are gonna get some merch out there. Okay, yeah. We're gonna manifest that. I wanted to say, because there are two things now that made me think, like, oh, I was gonna say that earlier when you were talking about the modeling and the how does Buddy respond to you, and mm-hmm. that you punch and model for him. And you are in a situation, and mad props to every single mom or single parent who is having to do this on their own, where you can't tap out and hand the child over to the other partner and say, you deal with them. As I'm sure, like, that happened, I don't know how many times in it, right? Like, you just wait till your father gets home. Not that was definitely, you know, that wasn't can always I a thing intervene? That
I'm... Okay, remember, can you hold your thought?
Yes.
Can you remember it? Do you need to write it down?
No, go.
Okay, no, you go, and then I'll tell my story about when your dad comes home.
Because I don't want you to minimize this. I want you to sit and take this in, because I'm complimenting you right now on your efforts, on the meal prep, on the modeling, on the handling all of the things, on the routines and the bedtime and the shopping and all the things that go into life you're having to do on your own right now. Mm-hmm. And you and anybody else who's in your situation, I just want to know that I appreciate you, and you're not alone, and you're doing a great job.
Why are you trying to make me cry? It's the new year. Thank you.
You're welcome. I
know. Empathy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It is not easy. And I recently, so Buddy does this gym class, and I've been like reaching out to coaches that I know, because I was like, I signed him up for this gym class specifically to help, because I realized he's super coordinated, but he's definitely, his cognitive and his speech comes first. And I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with child development or whatever, but his motor coordination comes a little less. So not less, but a little less. Like, it always comes, but he hits all of his motor milestones. But he's not like the most super, like, highly coordinated kid is what I would say. He's coordinated, but so anyway, I put him into this gym class. My brother actually was the one who turned me onto it. I love the class. I love what they're doing. But I was like, I don't know what's happening. And there are some very, very, very behavioral kids. And my whole point in this is that I joined this gym class for Buddy to increase my village of people who could help him grow, to take some of the pressure off of me having to figure out how to teach him these things. And so, but I've also been tapping into my friends that are coaches of like, hey, this is new to me to be a parent with a child who's being coached. I don't want to be a helicopter parent. I do want to advocate for my child because he's three and needs, like, I'm his advocate right now and I'm his voice. But I also want to build rapport. And so it's been like quite the roller coaster. And I think I've figured out like our groove and what we're doing and what's going on. All that to say that I appreciate the really awesome and very kind compliment that you've given me, and also said, like, it does take a village. And if there are people, I'm always like, if there are people out there who know how to do this on their own and they do everything, awesome. Like, good for you. Yeah. Amy's been there, not there now, but you've been there. And it's like, you have to reach out for resources. Like, I don't know how. I mean, if someone does, like, reach out to us, if you're someone who can do it all, if you can manage your house, manage your work, manage your child, manage yourself, and do it all without tapping out and asking for help from a village, please reach out, because I'd love to, like, pick your brain on how you manage everything. But for the most part, every person I've met, you have to rely on other people. You just do, which is hard for my attachment style, because my attachment somehow is like, nope, I do it all on my own. And so I'm like, I've definitely had to, like, you know, eat some humble pie and be like, you cannot do this all on your own. You have to reach out and ask for help.
I commend you for all of that, for all of what you just said, and for the journey that you've had to go through, the growth journey, to realize that it does take a village, and you can't always just do it all by yourself, and that you do have a village around you who loves you, cares about you, adores you, and is willing to step in. On that note, we got to keep this wine tasting thing moved along. Oh boy.
So, it's a good thing we're almost ready for the Chantilly Women's Day.
Kind of, but not really. So the Tempranillo, that was our fourth wine. We had paired with a Manchego and a Pecorino, and the cheeses that we picked up, I thought, were awesome.
Did we not talk about that one? Because I've obviously lost track, you guys. Mm-hmm.
I talked about the wine, but not the cheeses. And the Pecorino, I don't know what's in there, but that was amazing. That was like super duper tasty. And I think Amy brought that one, so I'm very excited about that.
Good pick.
All right. So our last wine is the Cabernet Sauvignon, and it is called The Butcher. It's from Moldova. Oh, The Butchery. Oh, God. It has a big pig on it.
I just totally had like a big, I just had a big flashback to one of my favorite movies, Hitch, with Will Smith, where he's like the butcher of Cadiz.
When they're on Ellis Island? Yes,
where she's like, he's like, when it said the butcher, I didn't think it was that kind of butcher. She like freaks out. Hey, sorry, spoiler alert for anyone who hasn't seen Hitch, but it's a great movie. Go see it.
It is a super great movie.
All right. It's old now. It's old. It's a classic now.
From Moldova, Cabernet Sauvignon has a pig on the front called In the Butchery. And we have a Westminster smoked cheddar. And Amy was like, have fun saying this on air. And I was like, what, euphoria? And she's like, dagnabbit. It looks like it's like a cheddar-y kind of looking cheese.
It's all delicious.
It's made from sheep. So I'm excited to pair that
Here's
up with
a
Cabernet.
Here's a question I have, because, right, we're trying to give you guys like some options if you want to do a cheese and wine pairing yourself. But we start in one direction, but it seems like by the time we hit like the third or fourth wine, everything is delicious. So I don't know.
You could be onto something there.
See, I like Tempranillo. Amy's not a Tempranillo fan.
I definitely like the Euphoria cheese. There's like a saltiness to that that also goes well with the Cabernet Sauvignon, because the Cab is such a heavy wine. And these just, I think, bring out the flavor in it. This has been delightful. And I want you to know, in my Googling with the wine and cheese pairings, a lot of people out there will say cheese is a great thing to have when you're doing wine tasting because of the fats that it has that help soak things up. But Abby, you're still going to get a little tipsy.
All right, Anna, before we get into the SCW joke of the day, how do you want to tell our listeners they are not alone?
You are not alone if you also love wine and cheese.
That was an easy one. Mm-hmm. I will say this. You are not alone if you are in the process and on a journey of increasing your emotional intelligence and looking for other ways to connect with others.
Well, hot damn, that's really profound. Mm-hmm, that's super profound.
All right, we're going to put Amy on the spot. Amy, you are not alone if
you are potty treating a toddler.
Oh. All right, we're going to repeat that for her. You are not alone if you are potty training your toddler and they have peed on one of your fancy chairs. I have also been there. So, Amy, you are not alone.
I love that you have fancy chairs. I
literally just told someone today, potty training Buddy by myself was hands down the hardest thing I have done as a mom. And several people, when I ask them about their potty training journey, they're like, I don't really recall. And I'm like, no wonder you don't recall, excuse me, I just burped. Of course, Alexandra had to burp.
Weird.
I'm like, no wonder you couldn't recall it because it's so traumatic. We just block it out. Yeah, mm-hmm. She will be potty trained. She will be.
She'll get there.
All right.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know where to go, you'll get there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I love that.
All right. On that note, and to your point,
let's finish.
Oh, can you just, before I talk the STW joke of the day, can you talk about the picture that popped up today?
I will do that. So you guys know I'm a little on the woo-woo side, a little or a lot on the woo-woo side. Sean comes and hangs out quite a bit. And the way that I find that he sends me signs is pictures will pop up on my phone. So it has been almost 2.5 years. It's hard to believe 2.5 years since he left us physically in that form. I know, I'm like, well, you're energetically here. It's weird. Anyway. So today, when I was at Target, I was like, la, 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 I got to get some things for today and for recording. And I looked down at my phone and there is Sean holding a bottle of wine. That was the picture that popped up. So he is definitely hanging out with us today.
Yeah. And that's not a picture that pops up. Like, it that's not a normal picture that pops up. But no. On the day that we're doing wine and cheese pairing, that's the picture that popped up. I also want to say on Christmas Day, we were all hanging out as a family and Sean was all over the place.
He was everywhere.
There was like a game that we were playing and there was the number 22 that popped up and the 22nd, it's a number. And so it's associated with him and that was cool. And then our brother brought a new game and he's like, oh my God, look at this map. And it has Whidbey Island on it. And
yeah, that's where Sean was stationed and where we did his burial at sea.
And it was a pirate game, so that was just really weird. Yeah.
Well, and what's funny about that game is like that was one of his favorite games when we first introduced him. When my brother first introduced us, Sean was like, I'm not doing this child's play. And then it became like a big thing between my brother and Sean. Like they became, what's the plural of nemesis? Is it nemesis?
Competitors.
Nemesis?
Competitors.
All right, Grammarian, competitors. And so it was just really interesting that, yes, this new version has the whole map and it's Whidbey Island of all places where Sean was stationed. And we felt the love. We knew he was with us.
We definitely knew that he was with us. And we had a stocking up this year because the child was putting out the stockings and made sure that they were all out there. And it was just awesome. It was just like you felt the love and we knew that he was there.
Yeah, now you're really going to make me cry.
Okay. All right. STW joke of the day. This is so in line with me. Are you ready? Oh, you guys, we moved into chapter 2. Quality trickery. Now, again, I don't have my glasses on, so I'm holding the book 4 feet away from my face, but it's called Quality Trickery, and quality, instead of quality, is spelled K-O-A-L-A, like a koala.
Let's
you get
do it.
Quality trickery. That's chapter 2. We'll see how long this takes us. The first joke of the new year is, what do you call a bear with no teeth?
I don't know. What do you call a bear with no teeth?
A gummy bear.
Oh my God. I don't know why I didn't guess that. Uh-huh. Y'all are probably guessing that in your cars. I love this.
And we love you.
Yes. Thanks for hanging in today. Happy New Year. We're so glad that you're still here with us and we will chat with you soon.
If you guys are new to the Russian Sisters, you know that you can email us at therussiansisters@gmail.com with any questions or concerns or comments you have about our show. We love for you to leave us a 5-star review. And share us with your friends. We're here for good things.
Sharing is caring.
Sharing is caring. We love you. We hope you have a great week.
Until
we'll talk to you soon.
Until you're 18.
Oh, okay. God. Okay.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Russian Sisters. To connect with them, go to therussiansisters.com.
Produced and distributed by the Sound Off Media Company.
Hi, I'm Emily Roger, and I host a leadership show called The Boiling Point with my co-host, Dave Vail. Together, we sit down with trailblazing entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and movement makers who are driving meaningful change in our world. The show is all about exploring the lives and perspectives of leaders who are making a difference. Join us for insightful conversations that challenge the status quo, spark new ideas, and inspire you to take action. Find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or at BoilingPointPodcast.com.
Hi, Hi, I'm Connie Thiessen, the host of Broadcast Dialogue, the podcast. We focus on Canada and the challenges facing Canadian radio and TV, as well as highlighting those moving the industry forward from podcasting and streaming to new broadcast tech. Check us out at broadcastdialogue.com or your favorite podcast app.